There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Good morning. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline in just one moment. Before we do that, I want to mention something. Actually, Sal, you can just come on in for this because this is kind of funny. Funny, cool, not unexpected, amazing. Bills fans continue to do things that other fan bases occasionally will do this too, and it ends up being that Bills fans motivated to do that. We're up to $50,000 donated to Mark Andrews' charity, his favorite charity, which is Breakthrough T1D, a type 1 diabetes research and advocacy organization. He had a tough moment, and you know, sometimes Bills fans do this when they're mad at a player, sometimes when they feel bad for a player, but either way, $50,000 donated from Bills fans to Breakthrough T1D is yet another testament to how special this fan base is quite often.
Yeah, pretty cool. And he had a tough game. He had a tough game. I've been, you know, reading some of the Ravens fans on him, and, you know, obviously there's some empathy and sympathy coming, but a lot of people mad as well. You know, he had a drop earlier in the game, and then he had the fumble, and then he had a drop at the on the 2-point conversion. So, but good on Bills fans, and I know Greg Thompson was a part of that. I think also that we know from Cover One. I want to give him a little plug there, because I think he was one of the first people on that. If I saw it correctly, the way it came across. So either way, however that was started, great job on Bills fans, obviously, and it's been recognized around the country for sure.
It was tough for me, Sal, watching, you know, as the days pass by, the Ravens fans posting videos of them reacting to the drop. Like that's tough. I mean, I've seen Andrews called Buckner in that spot and whatever. There's all-time moments where players drop and make mistakes, and I saw a guy who a pitcher for the Orioles who was a pitcher in 1982. I don't know if it was Jim Palmer, whoever it was, just kind of expressing how bad he feels for that guy. And whether it's Tyler Bass last year or whatever, you never like to see that side of it where one player is really bearing so much of the brunt of what happened.
Well, and how often is that one player a guy who like leads his franchise all time in touchdown receptions and has already established himself as, like, you know, one of the tight ends of his generation.
Right.
Like, this wasn't a backup.
Right. This is retire the number and remember that play all the while.
I don't know if you guys also know, just a little side note here. Apparently, and you can look this up, apparently there was an issue on an airplane with a woman and Mark Andrews helped save her life.
Yes, because he's also, he deals with type 1 diet. Like, he pricks his finger during games.
Yep.
And he helped, on a flight. I remember that was a couple years ago, or maybe even this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, just he seems to be a genuinely good human. And, you know, at the root of it, this is a these are games played by human beings, refereed by human beings, you know. And I know that that gets lost sometimes because we want the referees to be perfect. I get it. But, you know, human beings make mistakes. They make special plays. And sometimes they make plays that can be critical to the outcome of games. But, yeah, good on Bills fans for that. And now, obviously, you turn the page to, you know, going to Kansas City this week.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, before we get to Kansas City, it's been a couple days. You know, we talked on Monday as the week moved on. Have any other, you know, wrap it up in a bow thoughts on the game over the win over Baltimore, whether it's what the Bills did well, what they need to do better? Looking back, any final thoughts?
Yeah, there seems to be a bit of a debate going on about, you know, the game plan and what the Bills game plan was going into the game and how risky it might have been to play that type of style. And what I mean by that is clearly the Bills, and I said this, you guys know, I mean, clearly their game plan was to control the game and, you know, limit the Ravens' opportunities. But when they did make them, they had less margin for error. So if they made a mistake, the Bills could capitalize, and that happened. And the inverse of that as well, if they don't make a mistake, you lose. Well, that's true. I mean, but I think the other option is you give them more possessions, more chances for explosive plays. You know, that's been a bit of a debate. And hey, look, at the end of the day, it worked out. I think it's very interesting that all of the teams who had more yardage lost last week in the divisional round. Every single team that had more yardage lost. The team that got less yardage won because simply they made less mistakes. The team with more yardage made mistakes. And this is playoff football. So I just think that's an interesting part of it. And I agree, no doubt you won't hear me say that the offense didn't stall in the second half. It did. There were a few times where, you know, I thought that, you know, they started playing better, obviously, but the first two drives especially they did. But the Bills stayed with what they felt was their best game plan, which was to make sure they still controlled the game as best as possible. It got a little too close for comfort. There's no doubt. And who knows, maybe if one of those two-point conversions, there were two of them, by the way,
yeah,
if one of them actually is converted, maybe we have a different story. But that's not the case, and we're not here today. So, you know, I think overall it was the right approach, but I agree that, you know, it leaves you also a little less, you know, margin for error yourself. But you have to make sure then that you play a squeaky clean game, and the Bills did.
We almost saw it tested, right? So, like, Do you have a – it's almost tough to know, right, because they really hadn't done it before the game. Like, how much confidence would you have had that had they – had does it, if Andrews catches that ball and the Bills get 90 seconds almost to come down and kick the field goal, like, they would have had to open it up then. And, again, like, I don't really know how to feel about what they would have done there because we just hadn't really seen them go shotgun, pass the whole game.
No, that's right. And, I mean, I think just on the surface, you have confidence because you have Josh Allen.
Right.
And 90 seconds is quite a while because you don't have to go the whole field. I mean, you get the ball at the 30, let's say. You have to go, what, let's say 40, 50, 40, so 35 to 40 yards,
yeah,
right, in 90 seconds. I mean, that's very possible and should be, you know, really able to be attained by Josh Allen if everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing. The question would be, only, you know, it's not like, but you're not down. You don't get four downs. You only get three downs. And then, you know, you make a couple mistakes. You're punting back then maybe with 30 seconds left. Who knows? But either way, you're right, Joe. We didn't find it out. Thankfully, we don't have to find it out. The other part of the game plan was, you know, there was very little pass rush, and I agree with that. And even when they came after Lamar, they didn't really necessarily get to him. But there were a couple times, I mean, where he had to be I watched the game back. There were a couple times he had to get rid of the ball quickly when they did heat him up a little bit. But there were other times where the Bills literally just did not go after him. They stood in their spot. Watch the final pass, the final touchdown they had before the two-point conversion. Watch A.J. Epinesa on that play. He's literally standing there. A guy comes up to me, throws him down. He just stands there. Yeah. Like, I'm not going after Lamar. I'm standing here. But what happened because of that was it forced your DBs to cover for 10 seconds, which you can't do.
Did you notice, too, who was on the field on that final play, that touchdown play? I mean, I think it was Javon Solomon's second snap of the game and Quentin Jefferson's third. Like, I think,
I mean,
maybe just Rousseau.
And Matt Milano was off, as we talked about. Right. I mean, like, yeah, Williams is on.
Like, and Rousseau and Vaughn maybe are just, like, exhausted because they'd been chasing him the whole drive. Like, they were just at a point where, like, let's just put whoever's fresh.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, and by that time, you know, so I think, listen, so my final bow and thought is I understand the questions about the game plan. It also doesn't mean you can't change your game plan as the game goes on. But at the end of the day, you know, whether you relied on it or however you want to phrase it, the Bills won the game, and the game plan has something to do with that, right? So that's where we are.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Wester Hotline as we wrap up that Ravens game, move on to the Chiefs. You know, Sal, I think a lot of the conversations around how the game went, what could have gotten better, you know, we're in the playoffs, so it is a little bit different. And any way you win. Like, we're good with that. I look back at the Chiefs game, the first matchup, and Joe brought this up yesterday, that one of the stories of the last game was how good the Bills were on third down and on third and long in that game. They overcame third and sevens, third and eights. You know, it might have been a game where we say Josh kind of went hero mode and he runs for the touchdown on fourth and two. And I wonder if, you know, the Bills do their own self-scouting here and the Chiefs do their own self-scouting, what we might see that could be different in this game. And, you know, who's in this lineup is a big part of that as well. So turning the page from the Ravens to the Chiefs, how different do you think the Bills will attack the Chiefs offense than they did the Ravens offense, and the Chiefs defense than they did the Ravens defense?
Let's start with the Chiefs defense when the Bills are on offense. One thing that I've noticed looking into this game, I don't know the reason. I'd like to see. The Chiefs rush defense was one of the best in the league through three quarters of the year. When the Bills play them, they could not run the ball. And I think that's why they got in those third and long, guys. Right? Yeah. They got in third and long because they averaged 3.4 yards a carry. That's not good enough. I want to read you, since the Cleveland game, they play Cleveland in December. 6.6, 4.9, 6.5. And then they had the game against Denver where, I mean, they got killed, but Denver didn't run the ball that great. But, I mean, like, for some reason, I don't know why, the Chiefs' rush defense has not been nearly as good. And last week, 5.1 they allowed per carry against the Texans team with a banged up Joe Mixon and not a great offensive line. I think this game, for some, I'd like to see and like what the reasoning is, but it feels to me like the Bills might be able to run the ball a lot better in this game than they did the first game for whatever reason.
Well, I'll give you one reason.
If that's the case, then I think you want to be able to do that.
One reason is Spencer Brown. I mean, you want to run the ball better. Having Spencer Brown out there, who is a road-grading offensive lineman in the run game, he missed that game.
Right. And I mean, I'm saying, but from their side, from the Chiefs side,
oh,
they've given up a lot more yards, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, why have the Chiefs been not nearly as good at running the ball? But you're right, in that game, the Bills couldn't run the ball. Now, why have the Chiefs, not nearly as good as stopping the run? Is it just also circumstance because they kind of had the one seed, which they really didn't, but the last few games, there's nothing to read into it. But I do feel to your point, Jeremy, about third downs, I think the Bills were in third and long a little too often.
Yeah.
And if they can run the ball better, the way they have pretty much all year, and like the Chiefs have been allowing that a little bit more, I think you get in much more manageable third downs, and now you start controlling the game a little bit better.
The Bills, I'm opening up the game log from the first one, and you know, this is something that I would imagine Joe Brady and his staff are talking about with the offense this week. The first drive of the game, the Bills go down, they score, and they take a 7-0 lead in against the Chiefs, and it's converting a third and six, a third and eight. Second possession, they convert a third and nine. They ultimately punt on a fourth and eight. They convert another third and nine and third. Like, they were very, very good on third down. So
every one of their touchdown drives, they converted a third and eight or longer.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. So whether it's about staying on schedule, whatever it is, I mean, find a way. But this is a part about Allen, his maturity, finding the right reads, the cohesiveness of the offense. Like, they'll have just about everything they need for this game. The defense, we've got questions. We'll maybe find out some answers about that. But the first matchup, they win and put up 30, and now they have everybody they need on offense, and hopefully that can help make a difference.
Yeah, I agree. And Spencer Brown is key, obviously. You know, he's a really good player in this game. You know, it's going to be different in this game. They're on the road. And speaking of that side, like, you can't get to your checks as quickly. There was a play in the game this past week, and I'm rewatching the game. Tony Romo made a point of how the Bills checked us to a run because the Ravens didn't have the right defense to whatever they had, and it was a really nice check. Well, you can't do that as much when you're on the road. You know, it's tougher you have to have hand signals. You can, but it's a little tougher. You might get out of the huddle a little later. You got to be, all the operational stuff's got to matter so much this week. All these little things that, the little details that go into it. Get out of the huddle a little bit quicker. You're on the road, so it's going to be tougher to get those plays in. That way you can identify, and if you have to make a check, you're not, you know, you're able to do it without hand signals, or with hand signals, but a little bit quicker. So that's something that's going to matter in this game. And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, the Chiefs' offensive line has been the question mark this year. And, man, the Houston Texans got after Mahomes last week. The Bills do not have the same pass rush that the Houston Texans have. But they can still get a bit of a pass rush, right? And I say it like that. I don't want to say, like, oh, my God, their pass rush is amazing. But they did get to Mahomes a little bit last time as far as he forced him into an interception, right? You have to take advantage of that offensive line. You really have to. And I think that's got to be the key for this week. The Bills have to take advantage of the Chiefs' offensive line. The Chiefs are not going to be able to run the ball against the Bills the way that the Ravens ran the ball. But they still have good running backs. Pacheco, you know, we all know it, right? The way he runs, his angry runs. But again, look at the Chiefs' rush offense recently. 3.5. I'm not even counting the Denver game. Denver doesn't even count. Their yards per carry, guys, 3.9, 3.8, 3.8, 4.4, 3.5. They've run for over 4 yards a carry one time. That was the December 21st game against Houston over the last month.
Yeah, they won't exactly have to sell out to stop the run, one wouldn't think.
Correct.
Yeah. Defensively, Sal, we're waiting for updates on Taylor Rapp, Christian Benford, and Matt Milano. And the Milano one, I don't know if it's just human nature to kind of treat that one as the strangest because we know the least about it. But obviously a big day at One Bills Drive. And, you know, Taylor Rapp being day-to-day, I already think that is a good development because it looked a lot worse than that. Oh. Christian Benford in concussion protocol, that I don't know, that's a coin toss. I don't know what much to say about that. But three important players and an update coming today.
Yeah, so we'll hear from Sean McDermott today at 12 noon. The team will be on the practice field after that. We won't be able to watch practice. It's a walkthrough. As they have been doing on Wednesdays, and then we'll hear from players after, but Sean will let us know at 12 noon, and then we'll have an official injury report after practice. We'll take them one by one here. Yeah, Benford's in concussion protocol. You just never know, as you said, as that goes. Everybody's different. We know last week Ray Davis was in protocol. They had 7 days. He actually wound up clearing. He played. So, you know, we'll see where he progresses. If he's on the field today in a limited capacity, that's a really encouraging sign for his progress in the protocol. But we'll see where that goes. The other one, amazing. Taylor Rapp, I'm standing there watching him come out of the tent, get loaded into the cart, and he is in a lot of pain. And he gets on the cart, and then he goes in. We were told in the sidelines, going in for x-rays. Then when he's declared out, you know that that's just not good. After you hear he's getting x-rays and then he's declared out. But then for Sean to say on Monday he's day-to-day, I agree, Jeremy. It sounds just really way better than it kind of could have been. It doesn't mean he's playing on Sunday. We'll see. Is he out there? You know, hopefully, maybe something, whatever was bothering him is a lot better, and you know he can get out there and play. So we'll go from there. But I agree. It wasn't week to week. It's day to day. And then Milano's a mystery. So it was noticed by several that Matt Milano was not on the field for the final three plays, including the touchdown, and then also not on the field for the 2-point conversion. Sean McDermott was asked about that on Monday, and he said he wasn't aware that it was for any injury, but he also added that he hadn't gotten updates on anything from his training staff. So there's a bit of a mystery there. I will say the internet sleuthing was, you know, going on, and you could see the final play that he took. He ran and he mirrored and he was spying on Lamar. And at the very end, Lamar releases the ball and Matt hits him. And there just seems that the camera kind of pans away. You can't see it as much, even on the all 22. And you can see Matt just jump up, skip up, just a quick, you know, almost as if something happened. You couldn't tell exactly what it was. But there's, like I said, the internet sleuth thing was, then he's standing on the field, though. And I never got an update on the sidelines. Not like he went to the medical tent or anything like that. And you could see him on the field, standing on the field, watching the rest of the plays. And then in the locker room, the Bills do post pictures from the locker room after the game, like guys, like celebration, whatever. Matt's in a few of those pictures, and one of them, he's standing there next to Terrell Bernard smiling. So let's just hope nothing is going on with Matt Milano. But obviously, until we hear from Sean McDermott today, we don't know.
Yeah.
And really, because I feel like when he did spy Lamar, like Jackson did not have a ton of rushing. And I saw Milano not spying every play, but I think more than anybody else was.
Yes, for
like,
sure.
More confirmation that he is, like, I still don't want to say all the way back to, like, the all-pro Matt Milano, but I feel like every game that passes, I feel more inclined to say he's pretty darn close to it.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting a lot of praise nationally, right? I mean, I think Orlovsky had something on it yesterday, maybe, but if it was him or someone else. But he made critical plays. The batted 2-point conversion, that's a high IQ play right there. Like, he felt that where it was going. You know, he sees, he kind of knows, he's following the eyes of Lamar, and then he kind of just kind of has to turn back and move his hands a little bit. That's a critical play that he made there. There was another play on a, Greg Rousseau really made the play, I think it was, or AJ Epenesa made the play on a sweep, and Milano came to clean it up, but he was right there. He did a great job to knife through a block. Yeah, he was, and you're right, I think, Joe, that him spying on Lamar is a really good sign of how at least how the Bills feel about where he is, right? And guys, I mean, the Bills have used a spy on Patrick Mahomes before, and I would expect them to use a spy. Doesn't have to be every play. Lamar is almost every play you're doing it. I think in this one, it's third and long. Do not let Patrick Mahomes steal those first downs. He steals one or two first downs at least every game on third and long with his legs. And even when the Bills have spied, he's done it. Teams have spied, he's done it. But the Bills are going to probably, you know, put a spy on him in those situations. And it has been Dorian Williams, and he's done a decent job as well. But we'll see if it's Williams or Milano. We'll see if Milano's available in this game. And then I think the other thing about this game is we're not talking about base versus nickel. But I do want to bring up that last year, when these two teams played in the playoffs, that's how the Chiefs won a lot. That's a big reason why the Chiefs won. They went three tight ends, and they just big boyed the Bills, and the Bills kind of stayed in nickel. And I do think the Bills might face that dilemma again this week against the Chiefs, a team that we know that has not been super explosive. They're going to have something. They're going to have something, and I would not be surprised if the Chiefs go that route this week, especially after watching the second half with the Ravens against the Bills.
Back to your spy point, and I want to get a call in here from Bob in Syracuse. 1 second, though. Back to your spy point, I was watching Brian Baldinger did a breakdown of the Bills spying Mahomes. And Sal, the biggest difference between spying Lamar and spying Mahomes is that when you trigger as the spy, you can do it with much less fear. Like, Mahomes isn't getting around Terrell Bernard or Dorian Williams the way that Lamar might. Like, to me, that is a very, very big difference that, you know, Baldinger put up a couple of clips, the play is going on, and then as soon as you get the opportunity to close on him, Bernard did the job, brought him down. And Mahomes this year, we went through the numbers yesterday. The Chiefs are always at the top five in sack percentage, being near the bottom of the league. And this year, Mahomes, he gets sacked average. Like, just any old quarterback gets sacked, and that is taking away one of their superpowers. So I would expect him to use a spy, and I would expect this spy to trigger a lot quicker than you would against Lamar.
I would have said, and probably, you know, before this year, maybe before this last game, you know, but the risk is versus Lamar and Patrick Mahomes is when you trigger on Mahomes, he's going to make all those plays out of structure. But Lamar's been doing that all year, too. Oh, my gosh. And he made a lot of those plays on Sunday. He really is special when you watch him. He can really make a lot of those plays out of structure and make those crossfield passes. We saw a couple of those, like Josh Allen, like Patrick Mahomes. He really is in that tier now where he can do that while he's on the run. He's keeping his eyes downfield. He's not just running. That's what makes Lamar really special. The other thing about the pass rush and about the Chiefs and sacks is, listen, Joe Tooney has been playing left tackle. He's a really terrific guard. They moved him out to tackle because they just didn't really have any of their options the way they were playing. He's played well out there. However, I will say, against the Texans, I think it showed a little bit that he has really good technique, but when it comes to speed rushers and a little power, like when you get those real legit edge rushers, that's where Joe Tooney gets put in a little bit of a bind.
Sal Capaccio, what time for McDermott today, Sal?
12 noon. We'll be out there at 12 noon today. We'll give an update on injuries, obviously, and anything else that comes from one Bills drive.
All right, very good. Thank you, Sal.
All right, you got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio. Bob, we'll get your call. Sorry, we got to go up against the break. Joe Marino going to break down the Bills and Chiefs game with us as well when we get back. 803-0550, our phone number. You can, of course, give us a call. You can now watch us on YouTube and on Twitch if you do that kind of thing. We are broadcasting on more multimedia stars. We're like the Simoncast back when Howard Simon was everywhere. That's now us.
The Simoncast.
You remember that? Are you too young?
I'm too young for the Simoncast.
Let me tell you, he was Howard.
I've seen the commercial.
Oh, it's an
I've
incredible commercial. It's the best. Now that's us, you know, like 30 years later. All right, we'll get a break in. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 on WGR.